service today. I feel a real burden on my heart. I really do. And I'm just asking the Lord today to help us to see His will for our church and for these meetings this week. And just ask that you would just allow the Lord to speak to your heart today. Romans chapter 13 is where we're going to read a few verses, the last few verses of Romans chapter 13. Praise the Lord. Romans 13 and 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Actually, in this section and in the previous chapter, chapter 12, there is a strong exhortation from the Apostle Paul to make sure that you are living your Christian life in an authentic way. And by that, I just mean that we are living our life for Jesus, and that we are living in it such a way that the world realizes that something is different about our life, and that there is this real, true experience that we've had with Jesus. And so when you actually go through chapter 12, he tells us that we are to live our lives in such a way that we bring glory and honor to the Lord. It does matter how we live. It matters how we live out our Christian experience. Some of the first verses here of chapter 12 tells us not to be conformed to the world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so it's such an important thing that we remember, as we pursue revival, as we pursue the things of God, that we are to love God and not love the world, to love the things of God, and to realize that one of the greatest hindrances to our testimony is the fact that we profess to be Christians, but we live like the world. When we do that, then we lose the power of our witness. We lose our ability to be effective witnesses in the world. The world looks at us and says, well, there's not much difference in the way they live. They're just like we are. Why do I need Jesus? Why do I need the church when the world, when the church is living and conducting their lives much like the ways of the world? And so that's why the Apostle Paul says there has to be a difference. There has to be a transforming difference in our lives. And it has to be obvious to the world that we belong to the Lord. Not be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So all of chapter 12 and chapter 13 is exhortation to us as how that we can live out our daily lives so that when Jesus comes, we'll be ready. So this morning I'm talking about waking up, and understanding the times that we're living in. Wake up and understand the times that we're living in. So all through, as we just kind of quickly kind of go through these two chapters, we have this the word that's given to us that's describing the need for being a servant. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to make a difference in the world, then you have to have the heart of a servant. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be willing to serve, to be a servant to all. That's what Jesus told his disciples. If any man wants to be first in the kingdom, he's going to have to be last and a servant of all. That's completely contrary to the general attitude that many people have today in striving to be best, striving to be first, striving to make a difference. And the kingdom of God, it's always different in the kingdom of God that we are to be servants, to serve others. And then as you go on down through chapter 12, he begins to talk about, well, find your place. Find your place of service. Find your place of ministry. And give of yourself to the work of the ministry that I have given to you. Then he goes on to talk about loving your fellow man and how that we are to love one another with sincerity and to have genuine love and overcome evil with good. And so all this instruction to us and about the importance of how that we live out our life every day. Again, it does matter. It does matter. And you will lose your ability to have a testimony to the world if you just cave in and follow the ways of the world and listen to the voice of the world. And so that's why that the Apostle Paul closes out chapter 13 there with an exhortation to know the times that we're living in and to wake up, to wake up. And that phrase is kind of a very common biblical phrase, instructing people to wake up. And we know that what it's talking about is that we can easily fall into a spiritual slumber, a spiritual sleep, and that we need to be awake and alert and realize the times that we are living in. You know, interesting things, the older you get, this is my experience anyway, a lot of times you go to bed and you can't go to sleep. But as long as you sit up in your chair in the living room, that's all you can do is go to sleep. It's so strange. That's just the way it is as you get older. But most healthy people, they say, within about 15 to 20 minutes, go to sleep at night. They go to bed, and within just 15 or 20 minutes, the average person goes to sleep that quick. How many average people do we have here today? Probably not that many. But the way you go to sleep is you get still, and then you just gradually slip into sleep. You can't hardly intentionally make yourself go to sleep, but you gradually just become unaware, and before you know it, you have slipped off into sleep. Same thing is true of our spiritual alertness. It's so easy to get drowsy and to get sleepy in our spiritual life and just go to sleep. And then when that happens, you're totally unaware of what's going on around you. You're totally unaware of the seriousness of the times that we are living in. I'm praying that today and these next several services that there will be a stirring and an awakening in our hearts for us to be able to see where we are, the times that we're living in, and that we would wake up to the seriousness of the days that we're living in right now. Paul said in Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Isaiah 52, and actually numerous places in the book of Isaiah, as he was warning the people of God of impending judgment, he kept saying it again, awake, 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 wake up, put on thy strength, put on your beautiful garments. And he warned them about the judgment that was to come and challenged them to wake up. So we all, because we, in the physical, you go to sleep gradually. There's not very many people that can just lay down, put their head on the pillow, and go out to sleep. It usually takes a little while. We drift off into our sleep, and we get still, and we drift into sleep. Sadly, that's what happens to us spiritually. We sit down, we relax, we forget about the seriousness of the hour that we're living in, and we start drifting. And we drift into a spiritual slumber, and we become completely unaware of the seriousness of the times that we are living in. So may God wake us up. May God wake us up today and tonight in these next few services. Lord, wake us up to the seriousness of the time that we're living in. The Bible says we're living in the last days would be like the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, but they knew not until the flood came. They went to sleep. They didn't recognize the seriousness. They were completely unaware of the impending judgment that was coming. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. And so in the days of Noah, the whole generation, they were watching the ark being built. They were hearing Noah, the preacher of righteousness, preaching, but they were caught unaware of what was happening to them. They waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing. All those years, while opportunity was for them to turn to God and to repent, but they did not do that. Samson is another sleeper that went to sleep in the lap of Delilah. And Samson had an eye for the evil women, and he went after them and pursued them. And but it was to his great judgment that came his way whenever he went and fell asleep again and again and again in the lap of Delilah. Just very much a picture of the church that goes to sleep in the lap of the world and just kind of put to sleep and unaware of the seriousness. Samson kept saying, well, I'm going to get up. I'm going to rise up again just like I have every other time, and I'll be able to get out of this situation. But the Bible says he didn't know, he wist not that the power of God had left him. He didn't recognize it. He went to sleep too many times in the lap of the world, and then he lost out on all of the wonderful blessings that he was called as the prophet to Israel, and went to sleep in the lap of Delilah. And it cost him dearly. It cost him his eyes. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his power to be used of God. And it was only as he renewed his vow, really, when the Bible says his hair began to grow, which was a symbol of his vow and his commitment to God. And then power came, and more Philistines were destroyed at the latter end of his life there in judgment. God showed mercy to Samson. But let me just say, don't go to sleep in the lap of Delilah. Don't allow yourself to get, you know, drowsy in the ways of the things of the world, but to wake up and realize the seriousness of the hour that we're living in right now. Amen. It's so important that we stay awake or wake up spiritually. Jonah is another sleeper in the Bible. Jonah went to sleep in the bottom of the ship. He's on the run from God's will, and he goes down into the bottom of that ship. It's storming. Everyone else on the ship, which are all heathen, but yet they're crying out to their gods, asking for mercy and for help. But Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the ship in the middle of a storm. Those heathens had to come and wake him up. Wake up, sleeper. Get up out of your sleep. Pray to your God that we will be preserved from this judgment, that we won't perish in this storm. So Jonah was awakened in the middle of a storm, and God then put him right back on the path of obedience and to do what he called him to do. Another sleeper, Acts chapter 20, a young man by the name of Eutychus, who had such an opportunity to hear the great ministry of the Apostle Paul. He's sitting up in a high position in the third loft of the building and fell out of the window, went to sleep, fell out of the window. And you know the story, how that Paul went to him and raised him back to life. But in all these cases, they had fallen asleep and they faced the impending judgment for what they did, for the allowing themselves to go to sleep. So now here in Romans, he says, know the times, understand the times, and awaken out of your spiritual sleep. Awaken out of your spiritual slumber. Wake up and recognize the lateness of the hour that we are living in right now. Jesus said to his disciples, you can look at the sky, you can see it's red, and you can determine the weather by how the sky looks, but you don't recognize. And what he was just saying to them was, you can see all the physical signs, and you can discern the signs in the heavens, but you can't discern the times we're living in right now and how soon the coming of the Lord is. Folks, our eyes have to be opened to be able to see what's going on in our world right now. Let me tell you, things are moving very fast and very quickly away from God and toward things that are destruction in our nation and in our churches. And so we need to be awake to the lateness of the hour that we're living in right now. We need to be awakened to the condition of the world and recognize how far that people and how far that we are removing away from the things of the Lord. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty much appalled by the fact that our president and the Republican candidate that's running for president, both of these two men that are going to be our choices in the fall for president, they've got the most foul mouths, both of them. They speak in such corrupt language. Let me tell you, out of the depths of your heart, out of the bottom of your heart, that's where your words come from. And your speech. And to hear the President of the United States speaking in such vile language, and taking the name of the Lord in vain, and to hear other candidates speaking with such vile language, it shows you the condition our world is in when it's all the way from the top. Those that are supposed leaders of our country are in such a terrible, vile condition. It shows you where we are as a nation. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, the apostle says, but that which is good to the use of edification, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I've even heard of pastors and preachers who are now in their sermons using profanity, using ungodly language. It's just incredible to me that we have dipped to this low. We've gotten to this place, and it shows the extreme condition that we're in spiritually and morally in our nation and even in the church world today. Oh, we've got to wake up, folks. We have to wake up and recognize that we've got to have help from God. We've got to have help from God. I don't have any confidence in the political situation in our country right now. It's just discouraging when you look at what's going on. I'm very concerned about it, but it's just a reminder to us that there is no answer outside of Jesus. There is no answer outside of a move of God. We've got to have a move of God. There has to be a turning to the Lord. And it starts with you, and it starts with me, and it starts with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be awake to the lateness of the hour. We need to be awake to the condition that the world is in. And we certainly need to be aware of our own spiritual condition, where you are. You know, we have a tendency to not really see ourselves as we should. We look at ourselves, you know, in a way, many times excusing our lives and what we do and how that we live. But what revival does is it brings to light. It exposes those areas of our life where we have become lazy and complacent. A move of the Spirit of God, if it's genuine, if it's a real move of God, not just an emotional experience, but if it's a deep, genuine move of God, then it exposes our weaknesses, our failures, our sinfulness, our worldliness. It exposes it all and causes us to recognize how much we need God in our lives. Amen. So we are asking the Lord, Lord, today, and this first day of revival, Lord, turn on the light. Turn on the light. Wake us up. Help us to shake out of our complacency and to be aware of where we are spiritually and to press in to the things of the Lord with our whole heart. We have a real opportunity this week. Real revival brings conviction of sin. And that's not just in those that are outside of the church. It brings conviction to the church as well. It brings conviction to us, causing us to turn away from the world and away from sin and to return to our first love, to get back to our first love for God. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Don't turn away from it, but allow the Lord to stir your heart. Knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. There's really three phases of our salvation because this we know that where it says now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Our salvation is in three phases. Number one, we're saved when we are born again of the Spirit. We're saved when we repent and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that's justification. But then we're also being saved. There's past, we were saved, and then there's present, we are being saved. That means He's working on us. We're working out our own salvation. That means we're being sanctified. We're first justified in the past, but now daily we're being sanctified. And He's working on us on a daily basis. And then the future salvation is when Jesus comes. And the redemption of our physical bodies. And so it's a threefold thing that is happening in three phases in our life. Past, present, and future. And we're looking forward to that. But we're to know the times to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We are just about to the time when Jesus is going to come, and we need to be aware of the times that we're living in, how close His coming is. Amen. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. What are we to do? It tells us, cast off the works of darkness. Get rid of it. Remove it. Amen. That God moves in revival, causing us to first of all wake up, and then He wants us to cast off the works of darkness. Wake up and then cast off the works of darkness. Amen. So wake up and then get rid of all of those things in your life that are hindering your testimony, that are hindering your progress, that are stopping your sanctification. Put it off. And then it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the things of the Lord. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the process of what we are to do in the last days. Wake up. Understand the times that we're living in. Put off the works of darkness. And put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of light. Amen. What a blessing and an opportunity we have to put on some things this week, to cast off the things of darkness and every hindrance and everything that Satan wants to do to hinder your spiritual life, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Put on the armor of light and allow the Lord to work in your heart and in your life. That's my desire, and I recognize that Jesus is speaking to us by His Holy Spirit to stir us to these times that we're living in right now. Right now. I don't know. I'm getting older and older. I'm 68 years old now. But I do recognize that things are getting darker and darker and darker in our world. Oh, how desperately we need the light. And the only light that's available in this dark world is the light of Christ in our life, shining it through the church as we demonstrate Christ to a world that is in such need. Oh God, send revival. Oh God, awaken our hearts. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see the great need in these last days, Lord, to experience your presence and your power in a mighty way. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know. These are the things that the Lord put on my heart this weekend. And we need to wake up. I need to be awakened. We all need to be spiritually much more alert than we have been. I tell you, the cares of life, the things of the world, they can cause you to drift off into a spiritual slumber. And when you're in that condition, you don't see the seriousness of the times. You just sleep through it. You don't see the urgency of the hour. You just sleep through it because you're not aware. You're not awakened. But I'm praying, Lord, wake me up. Wake us up. Wake up the church, Lord, and cause us to look to you, Lord, with our whole heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's your desire today, could we spend the remaining time we have here this morning calling on the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, give us personal revival. Give us corporate revival that the whole body could be revived and stirred. Lord, forgive us for allowing ourselves to drift off into a spiritual slumber. But awaken us, Lord. Awaken us, Lord, that we could see the times, that we could see our own spiritual needs, that we can see the conditions of the world around us. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, today to be awakened in Jesus' name. I want to welcome everybody that would be willing to find a place to pray. Let's call on the Lord today. And let's believe God to stir our hearts, to awaken us to revival and to a move of God.